Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. This is the grand final live rapid reaction show. I'm just coming to you half an hour after full time. Season 2021 in the books. Congratulations, Penrith Panthers. They gutted that one out. Game that was there to be won and in the balance the whole time. Well deserved. They did it the tough way, Penrith. I'm sure some news is going to come out of just the extent of some of the injuries of those key players, in particular Nathan Cleary and how bad that shoulder truly is. But he gets the redemption after last year. You know, in last year's grand final, he threw an intercept. That was a key moment that nearly just about sealed Penrith's fate. We all know Penrith failed in last year's grand final, being down 26-0 at halftime. And they've had a long time to think about that, and they get all the way back. There's no guarantees you get back. And even when you do, you still need luck and you still play in games that can go either way. And Penrith's played in three straight weeks, games that could go either way. You're going back to gutting out that win 8-6 over the Eels, and then last week 10-6 over the Storm, and finally in the grand final 14-12 victors. And the one constant has actually been their defense. As amazing as Penrith's attack really started to look at the beginning of 2021 and why they looked like they could be a special footy team, the way that they could pull sides apart and how deadly they were. In fact, it was their relentless defense and relentless pressure and physicality that was their hallmark, and that was what got them that could win this final style footy. And they would not have won that game without that sort of toughness and determination. And I know Rabbitohs didn't get a lot of opportunities in that game. And I think if you're a Rabbitohs fan, you are really hurting, and it's a lot of what ifs. And I'm actually going to go through the whole game, and whether you're watching this live with me, we can just think about the key moments that actually just unfolded in those last 80 minutes, or whether you take a day or two to listen to this. This is going to be my second last pod. I'll do a final one on Wednesday. I'll do more of a season recap. I'm going to bring Tristan on. We've got to give a shout out to Tristan Top Sport. We won the mixed matchup again tonight, but we're going to just look at like biggest mistakes made through the season. What would I've done differently? Lessons learned. You know, what we always want to do anytime we're doing a recap, if we're not sharing tips, we're trying to talk about how we can get better and how we can find more winning tips. So that's what Wednesday's going to be, including the mistakes bookies made this season. It's going to be interesting to hear from Tristan. The highs and lows, my best wins of the season, worst losses of the season. And also I'll talk a little bit about what the future of the Tripod holds. But just to cap the results for the season, we didn't have a best bet, but I felt like I had to give you guys a 50-50 play. And my tip was first half under 18.5 points. That did win. There was only 14 points in the first half, only 26 in total. So, I mean, I do feel like I'm going out having pretty much called the game the way that it unfolded, talking about liking unders. And I said, if I had to play the line, I'm playing Souths plus 2.5. But if I have to pick the winner, I'm picking Penrith. I just feel they're going to get there by a narrow margin. I didn't have the confidence to, lay that line with Penrith because I said all week, I just wondered how much, fuel they had left in the tank. And of course, they had enough to be the champions, but I feel like a completely fresh, if the shoe was on the other foot with Penrith, they could have beaten the Bunnies by a lot more. But I think they literally spent every last milliliter of petrol that they did have in the tank to get over the line. Comes down to the 78th minute, 79th minute, that Reynolds 2-point field goal attempt. I mean, imagine if that shoots over, what's Penrith got left in extra time? And in the end, they win the grand final on an intercept try. So pretty crazy. And as I said before, I completely understand if you're hurting, if you're a Souths fan, but, be remiss to talk about a grand final and not, congratulate anybody out there who either backed Penrith preseason. And I did tip Penrith in the preseason pod. That was my prediction that they would go one step further. And throughout the year, they didn't necessarily look like the most likely team for a majority of the year. Melbourne was the best team in the competition. But again, it goes to show you can look at any team that's won the comp in the last 5, 10, 15 years and you can say, oh, they were the best team. Best team doesn't always necessarily win it. You still have to get the result in these key matches. And it's a competitive competition, the NRL. That's why we love it. We don't know who's going to win each year. And we got kind of a surprise grand final, but what we ended up getting was some cracking prelims, some multiple, finals matches that went down to the wire. So as I say, congratulations if you're a Penrith fan. That's really exciting times. That's just Penrith's third premiership, previously obviously winning in 03. And then I think you've got to go back to 91 for that club. But the footy that Penrith has played in the last 2 years very deserving. Nathan Cleary, I think, was the best player in the competition last year. Dally M didn't get that. You know, he'd be much more happy to get this award in the Clive Churchill, because that means he's won a grand final, and to win it with his dad as well. Ivan, I think, second most games coached to only Brian Smith without winning a comp. Well, now he's got the monkey off his back as well. He has won a comp there. So as I say, and we've done, you know, for me, this is the equivalent of winning a comp in terms of tipping, to finish a season 62% on best bets, to finish the season, and it's almost beyond belief to say this, but 70% on mixed matchups, where the odds we are winning at is over $2.50 on average across the 21 winners we had out of 30. We won 21 out of 30, 70% of the mixed matchups. That included tonight, we won at $3 the mixed matchup grand final multi. Penrith first half line, in fact, they were in front. We had +8.5. Then we had Bunnies in the second half line, +8.5. Well, the second half ended up being 6 points all. So that covered as well. And then we needed the Clive Churchill medalist to wear jersey 6, 7, or 13. Felt, you know, those are the most important players to their sides. And Nathan Cleary was the most likely of all, and he got it. So we finished with a $3 winner to cap off what's just been ridiculous. And I'm really, you know, proud and also happy for everyone who's been all aboard the train. It doesn't matter when you jumped on. It doesn't matter if you jumped on after 5 weeks or 10 weeks or 15 or 20 or 25, or if you jumped on this week, you made money on the mixed matchups. We never kind of, I don't think we lost more than one in a row. You have to go back to probably about round seven, maybe, or even further back, where we even lost back-to-back weeks. And these are an underdog tip to win every week. So that's like winning the grand final for me. Let's have a look at the comments. The intercept changed the game. Absolutely, of course. You know, the game was in the balance there at 8-all. And cruel that it was Cody Walker. You know, Bunnies very hard done by and very brave. And I don't think a lot went their way, but I think it would be disrespectful to Penrith for anyone to say they're robbed. But I definitely could understand how Bunnies fans, and there's going to be a lot of Bunnies fans out there that are watching, listening to this, and they're going to be absolutely gutted. And that's just how it goes. Like, these games are so tight, and it's like, well, it's like an Origin. You know, at the end of the day, if an Origin game comes down to 1 or 2 points, half of us are ecstatic and half of us are absolutely down in the dumps. But that's kind of why you love it. You love the emotion. You love that it means so much to you. That's what makes it so exciting. And, you know, you ride the highs, but you ride the lows as well. And, yeah, that one's going to hurt. Did Cleary deserve the Clive? To me, I think his kicking game was the difference all night. The pressure that he put the Souths back three under really was what kept Souths under pressure and what allowed the Panthers to, I'd say, more so control the game. So I think his kicking game, as well as he did run the ball and take the line on a few times, but I think his kicking game was the difference. I mean, Nathan Cleary slotted that first conversion from near the sideline, and they made sure they put the ball in the right place this time. And Adam Reynolds didn't get it, and I'll talk about that as well. So, yeah, well-deserved Nathan Cleary, I think, to get the Clive Churchill and win us the mixed matchup. Some will say Penrith didn't deserve it, but I think depends which side of the fence you sat on watching that. But it was an enthralling contest, like I say, to have a grand final where it's in the balance. And even when you have the most brutal play in the sport, which I always talk about, no play flips the odds of a match more than an intercept try. And the Rabbitohs still recover from that and still had an opportunity to tie the game twice after that. So they just kept coming and they fall agonizingly short. But they gave us a hell of a game that we're going to remember for a long time. Just going through your comments, guys. Benji, I mean, Benji looked to inject some life, but they had no choice when they put Benji on with 10 to go. They had to just throw the ball around. And to South's credit, they did. And they were pushing passes and they were offloading. And, man, they had some breaks. They had some line breaks. What about that moment where Cam Murray broke through the line at full speed and Edwards made that tackle one-on-one? What other comments have we got here? 36.5 units on best bets. That's a combination. I talk about how I don't really tell anybody what units to play because I'm not here saying bet on this each week. I'm saying what I like, and then I just keep records for transparency for you to see if the advice I'm giving is actually good or not. So I don't really talk about units, but I have kept a record of if you'd had 100 on every best bet and mixed matchup, what would you be up or down? So that, you know, I keep it for my own, like my own safety, really, because otherwise if I didn't keep a record, people would probably try and make it out to be worse than it is. So I always try and keep the record there as transparent as possible with the exact odds that we get on every play. And then you can decide for yourself how good it is, as long if it helps you, if it adds to your your enjoyment or your interest in any way through the year, that's what I'm here to do. And that's what means a lot to me, you know, whether people back every tip or not. That's beside the point, really. I really appreciate people that tell me that they don't even punt and they follow the pod. So that's what it's all about. So it's all happening in the comments here. Lots of comments about 60% and whatnot. But anyway, we'll carry on. All right, I'm actually going to go through the game, every note that I made, every twist and turn, and we can just relive this grand final if you're interested in doing that. Okay, opening moment of the game. Cam Murray, head clash. I bet your heart was in your mouth if you're a Bunnies fan. And shades of 2014, Sam Burgess had the fractured cheekbone. Murray, I was worried. I didn't feel like he had a big influence in the first half, but he was doing a ton of work. He got through a mountain of tackles. He was one of South's best. So thankfully for South's, it was not serious. The other thing that I noticed straight away, Reynolds was kicking every time. So that was obviously a sigh of relief for anyone that we didn't know for sure the extent of the groin injury. Potentially, would he be doing all the kicking? So at least that showed you that Reynolds had to be near 100% in this game. Very early on, Luai was ruled to knock on. Kind of a weird call by the ref. It wasn't really a knock on in there. And they actually, Penrith uses a very early challenge. And then the commentators are saying that's so silly to use a challenge so early, but it was correct to use it because they overturned the call. They survived that. There's back-to-back dropouts by Souths. Penrith is applying the early pressure, and then it's Nichols of all people with the one-on-one strip first tackle that gets Souths out of jail early on. But then they lose Dane Gagai. He went off for an HIA. He did return. Some nervous moments. One of the things I noted straight away was like neither team was catching bombs, whether it be To'o, whether it be Paulo, Blake Taff. And again, that's credit to the kicking games of these sides, but there were bombs that were either let go or were spilled backwards or were just flat out dropped. So then that was a big component of this game. I really think Rabbitoh's inability to defuse enough of Nathan Cleary's kicks is another big reason why they lost the game, because it put them under more pressure. So when it's all said and done, Penrith had more possession, but they had more possession because Rabbitohs couldn't always just claim some of these fifth tackle kicks, and that just kept on applying more pressure to the Bunnies and kept on giving Penrith, you know, better territory and more ball, and that was a big aspect of this game. So the kicking, and then we had a fifth tackle try, Burton, that was again off an error by Souths, and Panthers stripped him and Burdo goes in, and you think back to Matt Burton literally requested a release from Penrith, and he wanted to go to the Bulldogs a year early. He was playing reserve grade. He could, if he got a release, they could have started his contract a year earlier, so he would have been on a better paycheck. And Penrith refused and said, no, you're under contract here. You're on unders. We're going to keep you. And in the end, Matty Burton is, you know, scoring the first try in a grand final, superstar player, but he's going to the Bulldogs next year. Like, who knows if he'll ever get back to a stage like this, and he's a competition winner. So, you know, crazy how this year's unfolded for Matty Burton, but he is a true star and a real game breaker, and I thought he was one of Penrith's best tonight as well. Just a few minutes later, Cody Walker with what, you know, if Souths go on to win this game, we'll never forget that individual moment of brilliance in the 21st minute by Cody Walker. He kind of makes Yo stumble. He palms off Nathan Cleary, and he comes through and leaves Edwards for dead and locks the scores at 6-6. That was an amazing solo try by Cody Walker, stamping his impact on the game. I really thought the rest of the half was just an arm wrestle. I felt like Penrith was a little bit more willing to be attacking, and some key offloads by Penrith just allowed them to break the pressure that Souths were trying to apply and open up their sets and gain more meters and get down the right end of the field by virtue of some really timely offloads. Whereas Souths, they looked like they were just hanging on. In the end, they give away a penalty defending their line. 8-6 was the score at halftime, and Souths looked like they just wanted to get to halftime. I thought it was pretty clear that, you know, Souths looked more tired. Penrith looked a little bit more in control. But as I was saying in the group, I felt like that was just a result of the fact Penrith had more ball. Souths had twice as many errors. The possession count was 58 to 42. So I was saying, I don't think Rabbitohs are necessarily more tired. I just think they've like done more work. It's going to be really interesting to see if Bunnies can come out second half and the pendulum can swing to them. I really think Souths could put Penrith under immense pressure, and then we'll see what Penrith's got left in the tank. In the end, that sustained pressure never really came. I mean, Souths got a try very late in the game chasing, but the story of this game was really Souths never being able to play the footy they wanted to play down that end of the field. And again, that's frustrating for a Bunnies fan, but that's credit to Penrith because they won the arm wrestle, because they won the chess match, they won the field position battle, and that goes back to Nathan Cleary's kicking game, but also Penrith's physicality. And the commentators picked up on these, that Penrith was picking up Rabbitoh players and driving them back down the field. So, you know, again, that's why you win that the arm wrestle. And in this style of game, which was the kind of game I talked about, and again, we won that first half bet under 18.5. And another tip I gave out, my value play, 11-1, was Penrith to lead at halftime and Rabbitohs to win. Well, you got a fair shake at 11-1 there. I mean, the Rabbitohs were coming for him. And as I say, 8-all with, 15 minutes to go. And you're sitting on 11-1. I'm actually slightly deflated. I kind of became a Rabbitohs fan in that second half because I wanted to go out this season hitting an 11-1 if I could. But, you know, at the end of the day, also a fantastic result by Penrith. And I don't want to take anything away from them. Second half, another key moment I thought was Edwards being called for an obstruction. You never see this really when players return kicks. Obviously, their teammates are going to be retreating. And if there's any kind of people that are in the line, usually the player just kind of surrenders to the tackle. Edwards makes a half break. They call a penalty against Penrith in possession, and that gives Souths the chance to level up. So it's 8-all after 44 minutes. Souths immediately drops the ball the next set. Sua just drops it cold. Cleary actually pokes his nose through the line and puts kick-out through for a try. Watching it live, I thought that's a try. Penrith's up 6, but no. On further inspection, Cleary didn't get it backwards to kick out. It's a forward pass, so Souths survive. Another huge moment, the 51st minute, was Souths in attack, an attacking kick time by Adam Reynolds, and his kick gets charged down. Well, the ruling wasn't charged down. The ruling was just a man coming in to make a tackle. I believe it was Leota. Souths challenge because it's a huge moment. The ball ricochets backwards 20 metres and goes out around the 30 or 40. And because it was ruled not played at by Souths, it's not played at by Penrith. It's Penrith ball. And the player, the man trying to apply kick pressure, didn't have his eyes on the ball. So I think it's a fair call. And Gus Gould's talking about what stupid rule it is. I'm just bringing it up because it was a killer moment for Souths. It was a rare moment where they got all the way into the red zone. And then, you know, you talk about these end of sets are so key. And that's kind of luck when a ball ricochets. And often a referee will call play that and you get a fresh set, but it wasn't called South's way. And then Penrith comes back all the other way and forces a dropout as well. Although Souths do survive that one. Then Blake Taff drops a bomb the next set. And there's another key moment here with 25 to go. Penrith's on the attack. Remember, the score's still 8-all. And they stop the game for an HIA for Damien Cook. Now, we've talked about this through the year. I mean, in the end, Penrith wins the game, so people will say, well, it doesn't really matter. But how can you stop a game to favour the defensive team and get a chance to, you know, reset your line and catch your breath and say that it's for an HIA, but then not take the man off? I think that the way they need to fix the rule for 2022 is if a trainer calls for a game to be stopped, which it seems to always be when the team's defending, you just got to take that player off. If you're concerned about their safety, then they have to come off. So I think that should be the rule. I think Panthers fans would be spewing about that moment if it wasn't called that way. Anyway, Cook stays on and they survive because fifth tackle, I'm thinking Cleary's going to come up with a kick here, but no, he passes to Edwards and Edwards spills the ball. And Joey makes the point that South Sydney plays an attacking brand of footy, especially when they attack right to left, the way they can open teams up, but they need field position because of their structure. They need to get to certain points on the field and because of their depth, and they can't play that footy coming off their own try line. And they spent the first hour of this game basically coming off their try line, Bunnies. And just when you're thinking, like, can they win the arm wrestle? Maybe they've got more energy. Paulo, again, spills the ball, first tackle. Kickow dislodges it, but South survived that set as well. They don't survive the next one, though. Paulo catches the ball, instantly bundled over the sideline. And sorry, I said they didn't survive, but Tyrone May knocked on in the very next set, so relieved the pressure. But the subsequent set to that, when Rabbitohs are coming off their line, and actually the Rabbitohs are swinging right to left and actually have a bit of space, have a 3-on-2, and it looks like Gagai can go through. And Cody Walker throws an intercept, snatched by Stephen Crichton, who obviously takes it back just about under the sticks. And that's obviously the moment that essentially wins the game for Penrith, although the Rabbitohs had a couple more bullets in the gun and still got close. And it's funny because I think Stephen Crichton is such a talented player. He's still so young. Maybe he's more of a natural fullback, but Edwards does such a good job. And I always feel like he's a bit wasted on the wing. But here he is coming up with the greatest moment of the season, or the most important moment of the season, that pretty much seals who wins the premiership, making that read. And the cutout ball was not the right option. And that decision by Stephen Crichton to jump out and jump it and snatch that ball basically wins the game. And that's so deflating for Rabbitohs. And you wonder if they can even recover. And in the context of betting, you know, if you've got the Rabbitohs plus the points, now you're in a lot of trouble. For our mixed matchup, we needed the Rabbitohs to not lose the game by more than 10. So that try put Penrith up 6, but you're just worried, are Rabbitohs going to be rattled? Are they going to have to, you know, take extra risks? Or there was also a chance maybe Penrith would kick a field goal, win the game by 7 or something like that. Credit to South, as I said at the top. Benji comes on. South throw the kitchen sink at the Panthers. They actually do get a couple ventures all the way up to the Panthers line, and in fact they do score a try, and it's that, you know, that right to left attack, and it's Alex Johnston scoring his 30th try. What a season he's had as well, 30th try of 2021, and it puts Adam Reynolds on the spot. You know, obviously as much as the Rabbitohs are cheering when they score that try, you know, in the 74th minute, you've got to slot a sideline conversion, and if there's anyone to slot you a conversion from the left sideline especially, feel like Adam Reynolds, he definitely makes it more than half the time. So you expect him to kick that. We've become accustomed to watching him kick those throughout his career. And I don't know, I almost felt like that groin was just that little bit tight, that it just, he didn't get that normal curl on the ball because he started it out to the right of the post. It just never curled back. It was pretty cruel. I felt gutted for Adam Reynolds that, you know, he's had a phenomenal career at Souths, and he did win a competition 2014, but for that to be kind of his final parting moment hurts. And Cody Walker as well, because he's had such a good year, but he will be remembered for, you know, that intercept try. And then Latrell Mitchell, it's a cruel end to the year for him too, because when you're a star player that has to sit on the sidelines and watch it, then that really hurts as well. So that, you know, those are three of South's most key men, you know, especially cruel for them, but really, you know, everyone involved in the club is going to be hurting. And Wayne Bennett, we don't even know what he's going to do. There's rumors he's going to end up at the next Brisbane franchise. Demetrio takes over. I mean, these guys have achieved so much. I talked about in the preview that I felt like Penrith were almost more desperate and needed to win this more than what the Rabbitohs needed to win it. But you don't lose a grand final like that and come out unscathed. So that hurts. And in the final moment or couple minutes to go, there still was another chance. So even after Reynolds missed that conversion, there was still 5 minutes to go in the game. And the Rabbitohs made a break, got a penalty, and actually went from right to left. And again, you don't know how much Penrith has in the tank. And a Walker pass goes over the sideline. I think Cleary just kind of tackled him and hit his hand as he was passing. I don't think it was a wrong call by the ref. Rabbitohs were pleading that it was out off of Nathan Cleary. And obviously, if that had been ruled, Souths would have had a full set of 6 with like 90 seconds to go on the Panthers line. But in the end, they only got one more set of 6 off their own try line, and they never got close enough, although they did kick a 2-point field goal shot. Can you imagine if this game went to extra time on the back of the 2-point field goal rule, which none of us were asking for, which we all found out we were getting in the preseason for whatever reason? You can't actually knock the rule. It has added a bit of spice to a few games this year, and Reynolds has the shot. And you guys tell me, I think it went over on the bounce, and it started making me think for a second, maybe this is back to my 11-1 tip, but for a second I thought, does it still count if it bounces over? But I don't know. I obviously it doesn't, but I'm not sure if it actually went like through the posts. But I guess it shows it was online. But obviously from 40, you got to hit it pretty sweet. And coming up short pretty much summed up the game. As we said, Cleary, well-deserved. Clive Churchill medal. You guys can comment if there was anybody else who you thought was in the mix. Isaiah Yeo had a really strong game, but I think he may have had an error. I also thought he was involved in the Cody Walker try. I mean, it just to me, Nathan Cleary stood out, but you guys can comment if there was anybody else you felt was a shot for the Clive Churchill. And those custom multis. And again, we'll give a shout out to Top Sport, because I asked Tristan, would he do custom multis for the grand final? Because I know a lot of people would have a lot of ideas and bets that they want to create. And I didn't expect Tristan to say yes or to do so many, but he spent hours pricing up, you know, over 50 of them. And a lot of those run into the NFL tomorrow. So I know people have got like Tom Brady to throw more touchdowns than there were tries in the game tonight. And there was only 4 tries. Shout out to Mateos, who came on the pod on Wednesday and previewed the grand final with me. And he did a custom bet, and his custom bet was jersey number of the Clive Churchill medalist to be higher than the number of tries in the game, which again played well into a game that we were expecting a tight arm wrestle. In the end, only 4 tries. So anybody from jersey 5 above could have won the Clive Churchill. Most likely it was going to be a 6 or a 7, you know, or above that. And in the end, Cleary wins. So that was a great win too. So I want to thank a lot of people, but we'll do a little bit more thanking and summarizing globally of the 2021 season on Wednesday. I will come back and do one final pod, and I think we won't get too self-indulgent, although we've had a great year. I actually really was critiquing my own performance this year, and I think there were a few missed opportunities by myself and a few moments in the year where I didn't read the tea leaves as well as I could that led to not making the best bets I could have. I know when you hit 62%, it's hard to really say you did a lot wrong, and it's a bit disingenuous to say, oh, I could have easily done better, because I'm not saying that, because I could have never dreamed to go that well. But there's still things that we can learn from that we can apply, and it applies to other sports too. And I'm a big NFL fan. I'll give a shout out to the boys that are giving NFL tips. Matty O'Keefe is commenting now, and he's sharing player props every week, putting in hours and hours of work and effort to get that video up and get all these tips shared just about daily. So the NFL is obviously all kicking off in what, 7 hours from now, something like that, 7 or 8 hours from now. It's all on again with the NFL. And as I said, some boys are writing some custom NFL multis. And Maddie does that with Barney, but then also Nettie on Sundays gives us an epic NFL preview as well that I've been found really enjoyable. He's got a real talent, makes really entertaining videos, and also shares a great amount of insight. So look forward to that, guys. If you're into the NFL, you can even check out those episodes from this weekend that preview all the action for tomorrow. Thanks very much to everybody who's tuned in and who has supported, whether in any way at all, whether you just watch it or you listen, and if you've interacted and contributed in any way, appreciate everybody. You guys make it what it is. You guys make it worth all the work, and it doesn't really feel like work because I still love watching the footy and still crazy about it, and still kind of obsessed with the footy and trying to find edges against the bookies and trying to share as many good bets as I can each week. And I just have to live with the results because I don't control it. Once it gets on the field, you guys can see how easily a lot of these games can go one way or another. All I do is try and give us a good shot each week. But I'm really happy with the results. Hopefully you guys are too. And I'll talk a little bit more about what I have in mind or what's possible for me on Wednesday. But I'll leave it at that, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the rest of the long weekend if you're somewhere that has a long weekend. And I'll see you Wednesday. Lego.